This week on Android App Addicts, while Eric's away, Mark and Dora will play, and you also get to hear about the most beautiful bowl of yogurt I've ever seen in my life. Don't miss it. Episode 511. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, movies, dieting, whatever else happens to cross our minds. My name is Mark, occasionally known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel. And this week it's just me and the main man, door-to-door geek Steve McLaughlin. Eric is on assignment in Zimbabwe.
Yeah, he is out of town. So as we do, like in my neighborhood, I will have some for my brother who's not here.
Out for him.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a Yingling?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yingling Lager from PA. Really good brew. It seems like with especially these kinds of beers, every mile you are closer to where it's actually brewed, literally you can taste the freshness.
All right. Saw a billboard today for Yingling, whatever you say, gold. I don't know what that means, but it was on a billboard, and so apparently it's a thing.
Yeah. I mean, they like money. They're technically speaking, the oldest, longest, continuously open brewery in the United States. As soon as Prohibition ended, they were literally like right there.
So I want to start off the show with a bit of a digression. Here in Georgia, all the talk of the town is the fact that on July 1st, 2018, the hands-free cell phone law will go into effect. So, as the law is written, it is illegal to hold or support, or there's a third word I can't remember what it is, an electronic device of any kind while driving. So, phone in the seat beside you, perfectly legal. Phone sitting on your knee, death trap. I was reading about this today. I have a Bluetooth device. Almost everybody I know does, but I just wanted to know. Wanted to make sure I was in compliance with state laws. My company has sort of put a big thing. If you're out and about on company business and you get a ticket for this, it looks bad on the company. Don't do that. So I was doing some research on it, and what I found out was it was before I moved here. Georgia had already outlawed texting and driving in 2010. So if that didn't fix it, how is another law saying that you can't touch your phone while driving going to do any good?
Well, Mark, I mean, they don't fix anything. They just make new laws up. It, you know, keeps them busy. It gives them reason to get paychecks.
So by the letter of the law, I have my phone in a holder, a clip that goes into my CD changer, actually. I mean, somebody's got to use that for something. And so if I'm tapping the screen, as long as I'm not sending text messages. So it's legal to interact with apps. It's just not legal to send text messages. So I can interact with the thing as long as I don't support it. So as long as I'm tapping, it's fine. But if it slips because I hit a bump and I adjust that cradle, at that point I'm supporting the phone and I'm ready to go to jail.
You have to let it fall, I guess. I will say when I'm in the car by myself, either just my phone sitting there or having the Android Auto interface, it is surprising how much I actually can do without touching my device. I can send text messages, start phone calls, load applications, set directions, find places, and just ask stupid questions. Who was that actor in that movie around the 80s? Yeah, right. You know what I mean? You can actually genuinely interact with it. So to me, I can easily and do every day send text messages via my Android Auto or my phone voice-wise completely from starting the message to replying to everything else without touching it. So would that be considered?
The law specifically allows for sending messages as long as it's using voice stuff. It also calls out, I was surprised, smart watches are called out specifically as being okay. So you're allowed to support that particular electronic device, but iPhones, iPads, iPods, and telephones are not. So it showed some interesting understanding on the part of the legislature. It wasn't just a dumb law, but I do think it's an unnecessary law. But the point I was going to make about this is, do you believe, Stephen J. McLaughlin, I don't know, it's Jay, that our technology has evolved faster than our lizard brain, and that we are just chemically not able to not interact with these devices? Or is this just like any other thing and we're just making a big deal out of it because it's a phone? Because the entire society seems to believe that we are unable to resist these devices, therefore we must put them away.
Well, I think that in a way you're both right. You're right twice. Here's the thing. Technology has been moving faster than our lizard brain since fire. I mean, since first realization of weapons and tools, technology is moving faster than our brains. That's easy. But it's also one of those things that I think there's like Stranger Danger in the 80s and Satanic Panic, where collectively we point at something and say it's bad, and there's sometimes absolutely no justification. I understand why people are concerned about things, but at the same time, let's step back and look at actual statistical numbers. Because one of the things about any auto law that I firmly believe is you're never going to actually solve a true problem when it comes to death and accidents, because we will still, no matter what, have deaths and accidents in cars. If somebody can statistically prove putting that law into effect would lower the percentage of number of accidents by, in your area, 200-300 a year, I don't know. Then maybe, I guess it's a good law. I don't know. I can't say.
But how long has texting been around? 25 years now?
At least.
And so if texting is still a problem 25 years after it became a thing, then the law isn't the problem. People are the problem.
Absolutely.
But I know, I work among geeks, so it's a skewed sample, but at least twice a week, somebody bumps into me or runs into a wall or something like that because they're looking at their phone. Now, again, we're in a tech heavy sector, so I'm going to chalk up better than half of that. Call it 52% of that activity on their phone is work related. They're working as they're walking down the hallways. And I do see that this is relevant, people. It's an Android show. This is phone discussions. Stop it. I hear you complaining. I hear you yelling at your device, but you can't touch it because it's against the law. So anyway, I'm willing to concede that one of the negatives of that is, like, since I got a smartphone, I've never been away from work. That's good and bad, right? I can work at any time, but also I can work at any time. Prior to that, I had a beeper that I put on my belt, and if somebody needed me, they paged me, and then I had the option of either calling them back or not, because those things were so unreliable. You could always say you didn't get the page. But right now you're so connected all the time. So, is it the technology, the device itself, this endorphin producing slab of glass that is the problem? Or is it just that we would have always been like this if we had the ability to be so focused on one thing?
I think we would have to split the universe to find out if that were true or not, and have a isolated sample set of the universe with that. I mean, because it's impactful. There's no doubt, no way around it. It is, but I can't directly answer it.
So, Dort, have you walked into a wall or a person while interacting with your device?
I came close to walking into a couple people, but I've always, everywhere I've been in my life, almost always walk into people because I'm the guy. No matter what, I'm looking down and I'm just cutting corners everywhere I go, especially at work, because I know the layout so well. I mean, that's one of the things that I always did as a kid. Whenever I first went into a building, department store, office, whatever, I first would map out the floors, stairwells, elevator, bathroom, path, 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 path. So I know where I'm at all times, kind of thing. I can't stop it. And at work, it's where I'm at, whatever. So I know the area, and I sometimes do get close. With my phone open or without,
I think minds like ours, I have always been absorbed in something, right? Today it's my phone. Prior to that, it was my Palm Pilot. Prior to that, it was my notepad, and sometimes it's not anything external. It's just the images in my brain. As I'm walking around doing things, that part of my body is on autopilot while my brain is wrestling with some other issue. So I think maybe phones just externalize it, or maybe it's just made me mainstream. Maybe the other people in the world could let their mind not be on something until this phone made it impossible.
You could say the kind of thing like it's a drug because it's instant feedback, instant gratification. So I think the answer is like anything else in the universe. Here's how I'll say it. There is no white. There is no black. Everything is a shade of gray. And each person's reaction to that little magical sci-fi tablet in our hand that does everything, it's been something else. Some people will unnaturally get addicted to, insert X here, I don't know, video games, goat simulators, I don't know.
Not simulators.
But you know what I mean? Because we can get addicted to anything, I think. It doesn't have to be a narcotic drug. And there's so many of them in the world. The people who are susceptible to, I guess, addictions, they're experiencing it firsthand.
Yeah. So, one last thing. There's a local radio host here called Clark Howard, and he's big in the Atlanta area. And apparently, I found out that I could lose my Atlanta citizenship if I didn't listen to his radio show or podcast. And what I think he has something interesting. He says if he's driving down the road and he feels himself at all tempted to touch his phone, he just grabs it and throws it in the back seat. Just remove that temptation, make it go away. And as you've already alluded to, most of your interactions can be done audibly. So just remove that thing. Just throw it in the trunk. It'll probably still reach your Bluetooth even in the trunk if that's a problem for you.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a problem, it ain't good. Driving, I'll be honest again with you, Mark. When I'm driving by myself, there's no doubt I don't want to say more reckless. I'm less careful than when I have people in my car. And, you know, to be frank, the more important the person in the car, the more better I drive. You know, like my wife and kids and my mom or my dad, whenever I drove them, it was, you know, the best driving I could possibly do and not die. When it's me in the car just driving, you know, I drive.
Yeah, the present company definitely changes things.
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, the Bluetooth megaphone effect. The fact that you can't see the person immediately makes you want to shout at them while you're on the phone with them. But that's a whole different phenomenon.
Right.
So let's do some apps, shall we, Dor? And by we, I mean you, because naturally I don't bring any apps.
Well, honestly, the first thing I was going to ask you was about hardware. Okay. Is there any hardware out there that you're looking forward to, aware of, something or no?
I will be purchasing. The Motorola keeps trying to get me to pre-order their G5 or G6 rather. I haven't pre-ordered it, but it is probably the next device I'm going to purchase for my daughter, whose device is now going on 3 years old, and it's just time to refresh and upgrade. But other than that, no, I'm not really super excited about anything.
Gotcha. I put this link in the chat. I'll say this. The phone arena has gotten very unbelievably singularity'd almost. You know what I mean? There's not much difference from phone to phone. Nothing like 2-3 years ago. So the phones that are coming out, you know, there's some I like, there's some that are meh, they're hard to tell the difference unless you get up close. This caught my eye though. It's a home Android-based TV set-top box with a full keyboard, a touchpad, it looks like a speaker, and USB ports. And you can connect via Bluetooth or hardwired USB if you want to do game controllers. The one interesting thing about this hardware device is, and this is one of my core beliefs, all my mini computing experiences, I load Android, I've learned something, and that is the amount of attention you put into the operating system is directly proportional to the entertainment enjoyment factor you can get out of a Android operating system, is the way I put it. And one of the things that this thing does is when you pick up the keyboard, motion sensor, I believe, tells it now you're in keyboard mode. Wherever you're at, it changes the interface to be keyboard and touch optimized for the touchpad on the side. If you pick up the remote, the interface will go to the same place in the operating system, but then in mouse mode, it's just going to like transition to it. And so you get two different interfaces based on what input tool that you're using. And I'm a firm believer with most of this Android set-top box experience that I've had, the input drives everything. If the input matches what you're doing good and it's good quality hardware, it does help with the ease of use. It seems like a great, great deal.
Now, my knowledge and experience with the Android plugged into a TV is a few years old. I last tried it 2016, and with a $35 Chinese box, so running I think 4.4. So I will say that my experience probably is not the modern experience, but I found it to be at its best a mediocre experience. The best it ever got to was mediocre. And the typical experience was sluggish and poor performing and apps that didn't actually do what they wanted it to do. Is that your experience with Android home media?
Well, I'd say I've had all levels of experience, even though I haven't owned any of the official Android set-top devices, not the Q or whatever, not the Mi Box, none of them. But I've seen a very wide variation of interface and interface enjoyment. Like I'll say, I even used to do it back in these days, Mark. This is a mini computer, I believe from 2012, possibly. It's called a MK802. Basically, it's a gigantic thumb drive. And it's an ARM chip, and you plug up the HDMI to the TV, power it up, and voila, you have yourself Android
on the first Fire TV stick, basically.
It was so these were so slow and so painful to use. It was ridiculous. So to me, I've seen them all. I've only seen two or three instances of it where I felt like it really did flow pretty good, pretty damn good. And I know the NVIDIA Shield TV is bombastic. Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's $300
right, or
whatever.
But it's still, the hardware may be great, but you're still dealing with an OS not designed for that purpose. I mean, NVIDIA has put some skins over the top of it, but under it, it's still an OS designed for a tablet or a phone. And that's just been my experience with it, that it's just not, it's not ready for prime time yet. And Google doesn't seem to care. Third-party people are using Google because it's a free alternative, but Google as a company, since the Cube, hasn't seemed to care about this market.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you now, it's very easy to say that. It's kind of almost, people could make selective arguments about watches, tablets, or Android TV right now about how little they're getting, how little traction they're getting, and you'll not be wrong. But at the same token, at the last I.O., there was definitely topics on Google TV. And one of the podcasts I listened to, it's literally called Android Developers Backstage, I believe. It's literally Android developers working at Google doing a podcast. They just had one on the TV OS and how when there's three different tiers of who can use Google TV. There's the built-in devices, there's the officially supported devices, then there's third parties who just sign up to do it. And they're the ones who want the custom interfaces on their device. And the one developer insinuated they've only seen a few interfaces that they thought were doing something right, kind of thing. Like there's a great many of them doing it wrong. So there are different interfaces you can have in Google Play. It's basically a home screen launcher. Mm-hmm. I had a little game console system where the gimmick was the controller was big and white and the console could fit inside of the controller and you could put it in your bag. You would get it home. You could put that game stick, it was kind of the same form factor, into a little mini dock. It would be an active fan so it would run at a higher speed. And you know, that was kind of the same experience, and that was running Android. And the first Android that was on that thing, I was surprised at how great it looked for its need. But the games cost money, so it had to go. Yeah. So I've seen all kinds. This could be okay. I say there is a video down in the article. If you jump, it's a 4 minute 8 second video. If you jump to around 2:10, they switch from keyboard to stick interface, and you like the remote, and you can see there's already tons of preloaded content on it. So this, you know, they're focusing hard on just videos. Probably you have to rent from them, but you know,
right.
I don't know, something.
And that's still what mostly we do with these devices. We watch Netflix, we watch Amazon Prime, we watch our own local media. That's the bulk of in-home devices. Being a gamer yourself, playing games on your Android box, you're in the rarefied air.
Well, damn, see, if you jump to 3 minutes in the video, they pick up the controller and it switches to game mode. And one of the obvious icons on it is for a Contra game, which is awesome because, you know, Contra.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right.
Exactly. Which the code is on a lot of sites on the internet. Even the Facebook, I want to think it was help page. that you could access without logging in, it had the Konami code built in where you go to the website, up, up, down, down on your keyboard, and you do the code and stuff would happen. It's everywhere. Love that code. So it also depends on what kind of content you're going to take in to, Mark. If all you need is Netflix device, it works fine, is what I'll say. If you have, you know, just super basic needs, it will work fine. The gaming stuff on it can be cool, is what I'll say. I have the Odroid C2 upstairs, and the gaming on it's actually usable, you know, for old school gaming especially.
Now, is that an Android device or a device that you crammed Android onto?
It's a single board computer, Raspberry Pi type. I flash my own OS and I load it. They had Debian, Ubuntu, Armbian, Diet Pi, and they had the customized game ones where all it is you boot it up, you just load games. I loaded the Android one with root. And one of the things I like about their Android that you get from them is it actually has the tool in it to where you can stretch the screen out up and down or shrink it, you know, change the borders, because some TVs hang in more than others. I love having that option. Not every Android I've seen does that.
All right. So there's your hardware talk. Looking at this video, the keyboard looks pretty clunky. Typically, when you're interacting with a device like that, you want a small thumb-style keyboard. This you can't really type in the air on it. So it's assuming you're going to go sit down somewhere and type when you interact with it. It's kind of trying to be all things to all people. It's got USB ports on it.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know, whatever. Enough about
well,
that.
Well, if you want to plug in game pads is what they'd say.
Which are then wirelessly connecting to the device. So wonder what the latency is on that.
Well, it's Bluetooth, so no matter what, you're going to get latency. I don't care what anyone says. The hardwire, I think, would add some. I don't know how much, but, you know, can't be better. You know, HDMI, too. So maybe you could plug something into it or from it. I don't know. It just says HDMI. That's not confusing. Yeah. Honestly, I like competition. I like comeback. So hopefully Android TV does make some kind of comeback, but I don't know. Pipe dreaming, I guess.
Okay, I don't have anything else, so on with the apps.
Well, the first one I'll bring, I almost hate bringing because, like Steve Gibson on the last Security Now went off for, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes about how Flash just needs to die right now. It's way overdue. Too many exploits are still happening because of it with really crazy custom, I believe it was an Excel spreadsheet with something embedded that caused the Flash download. It's, you know, crazy. But Adobe Spark Post isn't Flash, so I guess it's good. you know, I don't know how else to say it. This is a tool that basically allows you to do creation on your phone, but it's not using, I mean, can you imagine Photoshop on your phone?
No, I can't. I can't imagine that.
Right. This would be crazy. That'd be crazy. So they have this app. I'll just say they're moving forward phone editor. I don't know.
Well, it's got free screenshots of hot chicks and food. That's what everybody seems to be into these days. So it's relevant.
Best of all, in very first part of the description, it says Adobe Spark Post Beta is the fun, fast, and easy way to create stunning graphics for any occasion dash no design skill necessary.
That's good. No design skill necessary.
That's me to a T.
Which means it's templates. Yeah. So everybody's thing looks exactly the same all the time. You remember PaintShop Pro? This is the phone version of PaintShop Pro.
Yeah. Yeah, but why you'll love Spark Post, there's a big long list, Mark. I mean, it's right here in the description. And this list keeps going. This is crazy. Okay.
Upcoming features.
Wow.
Free icons. That's exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, a Adobe Spark Post by, of course, a Adobe Art and Design E for Everyone. 211 reviews, free to download, no apps, no purchases, no ads. 4.4 average reviews, 10,000 plus installs. Current version 0.32. Yeah, that's, you know, infant stages.
Let's see. Gets a low quality preview when clicking the remix. Does nothing. Useless app for Android, even as a beta. Caved something or other. So that's positive. But, you know, only 200 reviews. This might interest me if I were in any way artistic. But I'm closer to being autistic than I am artistic. So, yeah, not for me. I mean, it's a sexy looking bowl of fruit and yogurt. So, you know, got that going for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's an Adobe thing. To me, that's the whole thing. It's an Adobe thing. So either you love it or you hate it, or you'll never touch it. And
I'm reminded of a review of the iPhone by David Pogue. You know David Pogue, formerly New York Times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A huge Apple fanboy. I'm paraphrasing, but basically he was like, people wonder why you should buy an iMac or an iPhone. And the world is broken down into two types of people, those who care about beautiful design and those who don't. If you care, you buy an Apple. If you don't, you buy an Android. And at first I thought, that's awfully insulting. And then I thought, it's also awfully correct. I don't care. So I don't, you know, industrial design, having a phone that is beautiful and lickable and has the right curves, I don't care about that. I'm not willing to pay for that. So I buy a black brick and I'm happy with it.
Well, and he can say that, but I mean, I'll say to each his own. And to me, it's not a good looking device at all. When I see them, they just look not, they're just them. You know, my device isn't sexy. I mean, I put stickers on it, so it's sexier, but, you know, it's not. It's just a device, a tool.
Right.
I mean, screwdrivers look sexier. They you can have good ones that work really well. I mean,
right, and those of us who value function over form, we're the Android guys. Those who value form over function, they like Adobe Spark Post.
Okay, to me, that's a much better way of putting it. I have to agree with that, yes, because I don't care how something looks if it does its job, period. Okay, what I'm going to bring next, Mark, caught my attention. We've seen last week, we were just talking about, you know, having text automated and doing things with text. This was simply an app called AutoPick by AutoPick, a productivity app, E for Everyone, 7 reviews, whopping 7 reviews, in-app purchases available, no ads, 4.3 average reviews.
100 plus installs, Dor. You are cutting edge.
Well, it is what it is, 100 plus. Updated June 11th, 2018, version 1.2, 4 and 4 and up. This is just a very simple app for you to highlight or scan text and copy it and paste it out. Have like notes you can highlight in text, make like a notebook out of the text you select and stuff. I don't know what I classify this cool tool almost as like a documentation helper.
Yeah, it looks like, it's kind of hard to tell, but it looks like you can take a picture of a paper document and then annotate that. So that's helpful for if you're a guy like me that people insist on handing you paper when you don't want it. I could see that, but it looks really like it's just an image editor. It's actually hard to tell because there are no pictures of it in use. But it looks like maybe it takes a JPEG and then you can draw on that JPEG, which I guess is fine.
Well,
but yeah.
On the one I did, I guess at work. Yeah. I'll say at work. When I scanned it, it did OCR the text and
okay.
I was able to do some editing. I'll say the accuracy rate, not 100%. I've never seen OCR from a camera do 100%. I'll say that, but at least was over 90, easily over 90, I'll say percent. Out of the whole page, there's just two little mistakes I could spot.
Yeah, throw something easily with two columns at it and see what it does.
The bottom half did have two columns. It got the text correctly. It just had spaces between the columns. I do remember that. But, I mean, it's just a simple, and I like the fact that I could highlight stuff and then copy it out. I mean, I use it as like a editor for raw text at the same time, too, copying in from one place into the document I scanned and then back out.
Yeah, once you say it's OCR, that actually immediately makes it more valuable to me.
Well, and it supports 18 languages, Polish, Roman, Spanish, Latin, German, blah, 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 blah. Keep going.
Tagalog. So, I don't even know what that is, but it supports it. I thought those were Girl Scout cookies, but it's something else.
Well, they're delicious. That I know. I cannot remember if I brought this app or not, Mark.
Tagalog is a member of people originally of Central Luzon in the Philippine Islands. There you go.
Gotcha. Okay, this app is called News for You by Shanapps. News and magazines, E for Everyone's, does have ads. Again, 2 reviews. Free to download, install. 5 reviewers. Gee, they're not friends or anything, or the people that work there.
50
updated February 26th. Yeah. Updated February 26th, 8 megs, 50 plus installs, version 1.0. I honestly just like now looking for different apps that can give me I don't want to say a news feed, Mark, because I don't think of it as that. I think of it as just like how I used to go to Dig and just peruse. I don't know how to classify that kind of app, but you know, that's what I think of it as. And the video is not loading for me.
Well, you know, Apple, well, Freudian slip there. Google has been going out of their way to destroy the Google News feed in Google Now and other similar apps. So it's time for somebody else to step up. The Google News feed used to be, and by used to be, I mean like 3 months ago, was a really solid thing based on my searches, based on my interest. It gave me things, and it was almost always something I was interested in. Of the 10 or 12 things that it would deliver to me at any one time, there'd be six of them that I was interested in. But now it's almost nothing I'm interested in. It delivers fewer to me at a time. And I understand the Google Now launcher has been deprecated. I'm not supposed to be using it. But I need something that's going to, this looks like it's really generic. I need something that's going to know what I like and bring me what I like. Also, I would like it to bring me what I don't like. I would like an app that actively goes out and finds things that are contrary to my worldview and puts them in front of me. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, but I don't, you know, somebody's going to have to make money off of that.
Yeah, and most people don't want to hear anything they don't agree with. But, you know, I think if you're smart, you want people to disagree with you in an intelligent way.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to just to see other people's opinions. I will say I have the Google app in on my phone. When I just go to the regular Google app, here's the gimmick I don't think everyone knows. You open up that, and then there are news stories. Random amounts, sometimes little, sometimes three, sometimes 8, 10, something like that. And then at the very bottom, or sometimes at the top, a little weather thing, and then it says more stories. That first page is completely customizable. Up on the top of each one of those blocks, top right, you can tap a button and say follow or hide from this source type topic something kind of thing. Once you go down to the bottom and click more stories, that's when you go to what Google considers the general field, which is why sometimes if you say not interested in, some of those stories will still rise into that stream and people complain about it incessantly. That's not supposed to be your stream. That's a more public view of your news. Where that first screen, when you say hide film, for instance, I see nothing about any film on my first screen. Then it becomes a little bit more optimized for what I do. But that second screen is where there's stuff that just keeps popping up that I don't care about. And that can literally be like 30 stories sometimes I go through. That's the only place I've been able to find some level of pseudo-random news stuff without being on Facebook, because I wouldn't trust the news from the people there. Yeah.
Yeah. News is a tricky thing. If you give people what they don't like, they'll run from you. But if you don't give people what they don't like, they don't actually know anything. How about?
Well, yeah, I mean,
just going back to telling us what happened. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, I like the Henry Ford example. If I would have asked people what they wanted out of travel, they would have said a faster horse that can go longer.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, you can't. Unfortunately, what people want. It's like, you know, telling the future. Hindsight's 2020. That came into expression because predicting the future is near impossible. You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Everything, you know, some stuff will become important that we don't even think are important right now. Like Star Wars, we said back in 70, whatever, when they were on the Falcon shooting the TIE fighters, they had wired headsets. You know, we don't know what the future is going to be, ever.
All right, what else you got for me, sir?
Okay, what I'm going to bring, I don't know if I brought this one either, Mark. It's called Terra Genesis Space Colony. It's a really long name as far as I'm concerned. It's by Tilting Point. It's a simulation. E for Everyone unfortunately contains ads and has in-app purchases. 27,000 RIA views. 4.3 average reviews. Updated June 18th, 2018. 1 million plus installs. Version 4.9.25. I found this to be interesting just as a different way to look at the solar system and get, you know, some information about it kind of stuff. You could go in and look and play a simulation of your own solar system. Mine, planets if you wanted, colonize, stuff like that.
This looks like a rabbit hole I should not fall down.
Well, that's the thing. You play it for 5 minutes and you literally don't even begin to scratch the surface. You can tell that in how far you could take this, but it really does. The onboarding process is very smooth. So, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like SimCity, Farmville, one of those, you know, build something, mine something, fix something kind of things that those things are a little like crack for me and I have to stay away from them.
Gotcha. The other thing I was going to do, Mark, was I was going to at least talk about 1 week with Lose It Exclamation Point app. I am never going to pay for the pro stuff. Let's just get that out of the way. But I will say I am liking what you can get out of the app. I like the graphs. It took me a while. It took me a couple of days to figure out how to go back and see individual things that I put in for each meal, whether it be, you know, breakfast, lunch, dinner, where you add the individual items. And the database was very good. I will say I do like when I can just start to type a place I'm at and have it work. Every time I barcode something, it came out right. And like the stupid thing I liked was the Atkins chocolate caramel squares. They're literally like that big squares. Three of them are considered a serving on the box. In the app, it does default to all those numbers, but it also says next to it one, and then it has unit size next to it to where you can scroll up and down, and you can say even half servings, three quarters of a servings, or cups, or each, or grams, or ounces, or pounds, or whatever, and it does all the calculations. That's what I really do like about the app, because like when I eat three eggs in the morning and I put in three eggs, next time I go to boiled eggs, it defaults at three. That's a very nice touch. Or if I, you know, decide I only made two, I'm out of eggs, I just slide down one to two, hit add. Very easy app to use. Very easy app to at least keep track of. You don't even have to, you could forget a thing here or there during the day to add to it, and I still would really be educated by what I saw.
Yeah, and you can close out days and say, I'm done entering. I have never in the like 5 years I've used this app closed out a day, which means you can always go back and, oh, I forgot I had this, and you can go add it back in, and it changes your stats. And I like that.
Or, oh man, one of those Atkins chocolate caramel squares might be really good right now.
Yeah.
I can
go find one of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, they're not a sponsor, but I tell you right now, I'd happily take any and all product.
Those things are really good. They use erythritol, which is a non-digestible sweetener. So they satisfy your sweet tooth with zero glycemic effect, zero carbs. It's nice.
Yeah. It's, I think, 1 gram of sugar. And yeah, it's ridiculous. And I like the fact that one serving's three of them. So if I only have two in a day, hey, I'm doing good. I had less than the.
So,
and that happens.
I'm glad you like it, and I'm sorry I never thought to bring it in. I have been doing that so long. It's such a part of, it's the background radiation of my life. It never even occurred to me that that's an app other people might not know about.
Well, here's the thing. What I was really looking forward, whatever, this actually hits like a good 60-80% when I was thinking about the individual steps in the workflow. This takes like 60-80% out of a lot of that workflow, because it does exactly the reverse lookup, the ounce, lookup is good, but I'm not going to pay them money. I can tell you that.
You know, and not only, I'm not even sure what you get, but the pay is too much. It's like $4 per month, $50 a year. You'd have to really give me some serious value over what you've got.
Honestly, I came very close to buying the membership for 1 month and then canceling, but I looked, and when you go to pay, they want a year's worth. Yeah. So
I don't know if you've noticed that, but that pie chart you were showing me, my day, if you tap on that, it actually gives you a breakdown of the individual stuff that's not in that pie chart. For example, if you're keto, you need to keep your sodium intake up a lot higher than most people. That is called out there. It's not in your pie chart, but it's listed as your daily sodium intake as well.
Yeah, and it's very easy to go back in time. That's one of the things I like. So you can easily see, well, how did I do yesterday? Kind of thing. It definitely helps a lot. And yeah, I will say I'm averaging more than 3,500 milligrams sodium. Sometimes I go up to 5, but you know.
I eat too much protein to be in ketosis. Because protein, you, I'm sorry, we've completely broken the Android podcast, but I'm going with it. Protein can actually be broken down into carbohydrates or into sugars. That's what makes protein brown. When you put meat on a grill and it browns, that's actually the sugars in the protein. So if your body is not getting enough fat or enough carbohydrates, it'll break down proteins into sugars. And so you have to, if you truly want to go on a ketogenic diet, you got to keep your carbs and your proteins under about 15%, and 70% of your calories have to come from fat. That's a lot of fat.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's not easy is what I'll say.
It's effort to eat that much fat a day.
Yeah. But bacon and eggs do help.
They do. Also helps with the sodium.
Especially if you just, you know, sprinkle a little bit on it. Yes. And my doctor, at the late, I'll say he's happy. So I'm happy. So he's happy.
Did you get off your blood pressure meds?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beginning of this month, he said stop taking them. And then he also said, I basically don't have to measure my glucose anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if you feel anything, take a test. Don't throw the stuff away, but don't actively test during the week unless you feel the need
to. That's cool. I have a friend with some autoimmune issues, and she's been treating these autoimmune issues with food. And it's interesting. She said anytime she talks to somebody about that, they say, oh, well, there's a drug for this. Well, why would I use a drug when I can just fix it with my diet? It's so weird, the mindset we've gotten into. Eat what you want and take this pill.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not of that mentality of I want to take a pill to solve something. I, you know, prefer not to.
All right. How about another app for those people who are rage quitting their podcast player right
well,
now?
Well, they can rage quit. You know, we'll be all right. The next app, and I forgot to document, lose it. I'm going to have a hard time. When it's just too hard, so hard to document. This app, to me, is of another complaint. Okay, you know, I complained about Clean Share, which doesn't clean, but it will share. You know, it was, like, bad. I talked about the weight thing, Mark supplied, lose it. Well, here's another complaint app I have. I cannot find a good coupon-type application, and here's the gist of where this is coming from. We used to have a membership to BJ's Wholesale Club, which is like Costco, whatever, big super store you pay money to get into once a year. Really good deals. We get a book from them every whatever with lots of coupons and deals. Not everything there is great deals, but once in a while there's really good deals in there. So we go there like once a month, spend too much money, and we get some laundry stuff from, you know, some stuff that's good to buy big. But I want to be able to scan in the images of the barcodes on the coupons and have it just record everything. And then I can just, you know, when I'm going through the store, just have it right there. Oh, yes, there's a coupon for that. I don't got to page through the book. I have to believe an index search will be quicker. I don't know. So, and every app I'm finding will do some level of scanning, but usually they give back really bad readings of what they are, just like $2 off. Oh, well, that's faint. That's great. That tells me nothing. Sometimes I get manufacturer name, product, blah, 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 blah. But this is not good.
I inherently distrust all coupon apps. My wife does it, and she'll say, you know, my phone is acting up. It's running hot. The battery's running dead. And I'll say, uninstall all your coupon apps for a day and see what happens. But then, you know, she gets sucked in by it. I'm reading the reviews of this one. Here's a good one. Melissa Gridley says, grocery couponers, this will not work for you. Great concept, but practically useless for someone looking to use grocery apps. It clearly states, does not support manufacturer coupons or redemption at grocery stores. So that's not super useful. But, you know, it looks to me like a deal finder if you happen to be in an area where they have deals.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that almost all of them do this. They offer you the ability to input your own coupon, or you could just browse theirs. Right. And when you browse theirs, you're going to, you know, Walmart through the phone, and it's not a good experience. And BJ's Wholesale Club is not in any of their listings, so, you know, I can't find my own. What I need isn't necessarily a couponing app. I would use it for couponing purposes. I need something that scan the barcodes, go against a database that just happens to be coupon related, and then just return back good information.
Right.
And I don't think it exists.
So you're calling this one a crap app?
If I went to the places that the app listed, they're not accepted as coupons. They just tell you that coupons exist for it, kind of thing. You know what I mean?
So if you know where to find the coupon, here's where you can find a coupon, but we're not going to offer it for you.
I know. I mean, So I could see, like, tell my wife, oh, look, Walmart has blah, 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 blah for blah, 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 blah. She might like it. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, even though we have, and I don't even know who knows now how many apps on the App Store actually, you know what I mean? An actual number to say, no matter what you tell me, is out of date.
Right.
You know what I mean? Kind of thing. It's hard to find a good app that does this kind of functionality. Now, and see, I think it would require someone publishing an open database of listings, because I don't see how else they're going to get the data, because I know in barcode fonts, it's usually just a number that's there. I mean, very basic information in the barcode. Most of them aren't 3D barcodes or anything.
All right, sir, I need to cut this short because I have stuff tomorrow and I got to get in bed. So go ahead and empty your tank.
Actually, let me look on my phone, because all the other apps I have on my Pocket Stream, honestly, I don't think that they actually cut it. I want to mention Cat Quest again, but, you know, I really shouldn't mention Cat Quest. Oh, I finally got my Google One enabled. The reason anyone who is a Google Drive customer needs to at least go to one.google.com, I believe, put in, it might ask for your email address. If it does, it put your email address in and then you'll get promoted there. The way you'll know if you have it or not is your icon, in your regular Gmail and Google Plus might have a circle around it that has the four colors on it. Some people are sitting there like, what's going on with my Google account? What does this mean? It means you're Google One able now, kind of thing. The one thing you get is immediate $5 off Google Play credit. So you just open the app, click the button, get a free $5. And then if you want, just uninstall the app and don't use it. But I will say, built into the app is the ability to right there click chat with Google, phone with Google, email with Google, 24/7, 24/7, 24/7. So if I wanted to talk to somebody from Google about something stupid, click, I got my instant connection to Google because I'm paying them money. Is the logic, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do, but, you know.
You know, for a while they had that on, I think it was just on their Nexus devices, the help me thing where you could push a button and immediately have somebody there to help you. I just read this week where Amazon is canceling that feature, the help me feature on their Alexa devices. I never tried that, but I have to imagine there were like three people in a call center somewhere answering a call once or twice a month at best. And it was just a low value to them. And that thing there's a phone number there, but who's actually going to use it?
Well, I mean, if you call it, I mean, I've had to contact Google once, and it's because I signed up for Google Play Music Family first, maybe. And then when I tried to do YouTube Red, it said I couldn't. So I had to cancel that one because I signed up the wrong pattern. If you signed up for Google, for YouTube Red there in the beginning, you got Google Play all access, whatever, at the same time for the family. So I did that, save money. Now it's not even YouTube Red anymore. Now it's YouTube Premium, I believe is what they're calling it when I open it up. So everything is constantly changing with this stuff. I don't know. We'll see if they're going to be successful or not. Some people say that they stole the name from Microsoft OneDrive.
Well, and Ubuntu One was also a thing. Everybody wants to be the one place where you see your stuff. So I get it, but yeah, I have no interest in it. I have no use for it.
The best one, of course, is Jet Li. And that's the bottom line right there. That movie was fantastic.
Yeah, but see, when you get down to the two and they're equal powered, how could one ever beat the other? Because they're equal powered, and yet there can only be one.
When I'm going to have to mess up, I don't know.
I mean, spoiler alert. He beats himself, but I don't know how. Anyway.
Well, I know, but it was a good movie. Few sci-fi movies involving cops seem to hold up well over lengths of time. And that one's doing pretty good, is what I'll say.
So just for those who've never heard of it, there's this bad guy who's an alternate Jet Li who discovers that if you go through all the multiverse and kill all the other versions of yourself, you absorb their powers. But really, it's not you absorbing your powers. It's the powers of that one gets distributed to all the ones that are left. And so as he goes through the universe destroying himself, eventually he finds an equal version of himself because all their powers have been distributed equally to the only two left in the multiverse, which happens to be Jet Li.
Because he's Jet Li.
Interesting trivia about that. There was a scene in there where they actually slowed the film down because his hands were moving so fast. Audiences thought it was an unbelievable special effect, in early stages, they were like, yeah, that just looks cheesy because you sped him up there. Actually, no, we didn't speed him up. He's really moving that fast, but we'll slow him down so that you'll believe that we didn't speed him up.
Right. Yeah.
Crazy. All right. So anything else you'd like to say app-wise or otherwise to our audience tonight?
I will say I'm still enjoying Stardew Valley because it's a great game. But I did play a little bit of Cat Quest, which is available on Android. I bought it on Android just to support the developer because I knew my nephew, who owned a cat piano at one point in time, where the keys literally were different meows. I believe his brother broke that like less than 8 hours. He was so annoyed by it. So when he came over here and he saw I had Cat Quest on the Switch, he started playing it. He started grinding through levels of it's an RPG. It's an action RPG. Go around as a mage-wielding, weapon-wielding, armor-wearing cat, and you fight and kill everything. It's a good game. When the other kids saw him playing it, all the other kids started playing it, and they figured out their own little ways to go through the battles and, if possible, cheat the system a little bit while playing kind of thing. And I played it for a little bit, and I gotta say, it's a really good game. If you're offended by cats, just like squint your eyes or put Vaseline on your screen or something, I don't know. But just blur it a little bit because it's a really good game.
Do the cats die?
Oh, all the time.
You know, any app where cats die, I'm in.
Well, here's the best thing about the game. It's that kind of game. It's Legend of Zelda-esque, top-down, three-quarter view. Looks much better. You go through the world killing it and die all the time. The difference is there are towns across the land. Anywhere to anywhere, almost anywhere, you're going to pass by a town. They're everywhere. All you got to do, while in mission, you can be halfway through a fight, most fights, not all fights, halfway through the fight and think, man, roll back 10 seconds away from the fight, there's a town. Hit the X button, you take a cat nap, you instantly power up all your stuff, and you save by just cat napping. So you cat nap it, and you see your meter jump up, jump up, jump up. Usually 4 jumps, 5 jumps, bing, 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 and then you wake up from the cat nap and you go back and fight because it's a cat.
Right.
But you can die a whole lot.
My more than youngest 9 times?
Dies a lot. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something I was going to say there. Oh, just an update. You have 1 week with Lose It app, and I have 1 week with my new laptop that I talked about last week. And what was a mediocre laptop became a stellar laptop the moment I took out the 5400 RPM spinning disc that came with it and put an SSD drive in it. It's a completely different machine. I now wholeheartedly recommend the Asus Q505, assuming you replace that crappy drive. But once you do that, it's amazing.
Yeah, I will say the easiest way to improve overall performance, and it's been like this for years, Mark, is get a better hard drive. But before, it was always RAM was the primary thing. Now, I don't want to say we all have enough RAM, but most of us have more than enough RAM than what we need. In every device where I've put in an SSD, because I'm cheap, when I buy stuff, it doesn't have an SSD, especially like my Intel NUC. That boot speed, literally from hitting the button to screen up desktop loaded, because I don't log in, I just bypass logging, because who needs security? It's literally like 4 to 6 seconds from the time I hit the power button, it's done. And that's because of the SSD. I cannot ever go back to a non-SSD-based system.
Well, that was me. Everything I have has an SSD in it, and I had just forgotten how crappy the world is when you have a spinning disk. And so I bought this brand spanking new laptop expecting it to be significantly better than the 6-year-old model that I'm replacing it with, and it wasn't. It was worse. And so I replaced that drive, and boom, now it's significantly better. Yeah, SSDs for the win.
Yeah, can't pass them up anymore.
All right. I will just say this. You should support this man here, this hat-wearing, born-to-be-free man by the name of Door-to-Door Geek. And the way you can do that is go to Patreon, patreon.com/AndroidAppAddicts, and throw money at him. He deserves it. That's all I have to say about that.
And if you want to do feedback via email, aaa@podnuts.com, by voicemail, 7076-PODNUT, or live interactive chat, you just follow us on Twitter, or I want to say it actually is posted to Facebook via Hootsuite. I don't know. And just go there Thursday night live chat room, guy in a tub. I'll say if you feel like you're getting sexually harassed because there's a guy in a tub, this might not be the chat for you.
On the other hand, if you're into group bathing, you know, jump right in. Well, that didn't need to be said. Okay. Thanks everybody for hanging out with us. Dor, as always, thank you for having me. Listeners, feedback, reviews, ratings, best of all, tell other people about us. Podcasting is a numbers game. The more people who listen, the better we do. So your best contribution to us is always to turn other people onto us and make different fans. So thank you so much. We'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of Android App Addicts.
My name is Jeff Halsh. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.